Mark chapter 4, we're going to pick it up right where Pastor Rob left off last week, and that will be in verse 21. Mark chapter 4, verse 21. Would you stand with me if you're physically able, and we'll read a portion of God's word. Verse 21. And he said, now who's he? You've heard of a lot of announcements. I want to make sure you're awake. And who's he? That's right, Jesus, because the next words are red. That's how you know. And he said, that's a joke. Is a lamp bought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there's nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, take heed what you hear, for with the same measure you use it, it'll be measured back to you. For verse 25, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And he said, the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then after the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. And he said, verse 30, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with which parable shall we picture it? It's like a mustard seed, which when it's sown on the ground, it's smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so the birds of the air may rest under its shade. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. Lord, as we bow our hearts before you this morning, just like you pull those disciples aside and explain to them your word, that's what we need today. It is my great privilege every time I get to share with this congregation I love with all of my heart. But whether it's myself or Pastor Rob in the pulpit, we need you to be our teacher. It's you that knows us intimately. It's you that knows everything going on in our heart and lives. And so, Lord, we want to hear from you today. So speak to us. Encourage us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Sit down and prepare to be blessed. Prepare to be blessed, for this morning, we are going to listen to the greatest teacher there has ever been. Now, some of you are just thinking, what did he just say? Jason, your pride has gone off the chart. I'm not talking about myself. Come on now. We're talking about Jesus. Jesus, the greatest teacher that has ever been. He's pulling the multitude aside. He has them by the Sea of Galilee, and he's going to teach to them a sermon. Now, what I want you to do is put your imagination hats on this morning. We're going to put ourselves in the crowd. We're going to put ourselves in the multitude, which means as the pictures come up and you start to see the pictures of the Sea of Galilee, just think it through with me. There you are, seeing the Sea of Galilee, seeing the hills of Galilee around you. Jesus goes a few feet out onto the sea and sits on the edge of the boat and begins to share truth with your life and my life. And really, all of chapter 4 till the very end is a sermon that Jesus is teaching with a purpose, to teach us how to grow in him and how to expand the kingdom of God. Jesus teaching how we can grow and how we can expand the kingdom of God. And I've entitled his sermon, The Sermon by the Sea. It's a 5-point sermon that you can see if you have those letters in red that are divided up by the phrase, and he said to them, and he said to them, and he said to them. We'll put a slide up that's kind of a picture of my Bible. This is not meant for you to read. So you're like, I can't read that. I never intended you to read that. That's to show you the breakup in white. And he said, and he said, and he said, verse 21, 24, 26, and 30. Jesus is teaching a 5-point sermon. Now, Pastor Rob covered the first point last week. If we want to grow in the Lord, if we want to expand the kingdom of God, we must have hearts that are good soil to receive the implanted word. And by the way, if you missed last weekend, do yourself a favor. Go online, get that study, download it as a podcast. Whatever you do, purchase it in the back. Whatever you do, if you missed last week, you need to hear it. Because, man, God did a mighty work through our pastor last weekend, in at least my heart. I don't know if you agree with me. I think it was awesome. But anyways, Point one, make sure your heart is good soil. Now, it's my assignment to cover points 2 through 5 in the same amount of time it took Pastor Rob to cover point one. And that's because I talk faster, so it's okay. We can do this. So strap in, and here we go. I want to grow. Don't you want to grow? I want to see the kingdom of God expanded. How do we do it? Number one, we need to have hearts that are good soil for God to implant his word. Number two, we need to let our light shine. Look at verse 21 again as Jesus begins to teach. And he said to them, continuing on with his sermon by the sea, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus, the greatest teacher to ever live, he uses pictures that were familiar to people to be able to explain them the point. Jesus loved to use pictures. You know, sometimes people ask me, and sometimes they ask me kind of meanly, why do you tell so many stories? Why do you tell so many stories? And I say to them, hey, I know you, person who's saying that to me, that you know the whole Bible, except the parts on love. You don't seem to have gotten that part down. But I know you know the whole Bible, but the rest of us need pictures and stories to help us understand. I need pictures. Sometimes I'm reading through directions, reading through IKEA furniture directions. Oh. And as the words are there on the page, take piece DD and attach it to ZZ with a sprocket and that tool we've given you. You know the tool I'm talking about, right? That little thing that makes you question your manliness, that little L. Yeah, everything put together with that one tool. I read the instructions and I think, that I don't even know where to start. But then I see the picture. And I see, well, that looks like that that I have laid on the ground, and that looks like that, and I know what the tool is. There's only one to put together IKEA stuff. So, okay, now that I have the illustration, I can figure out what I need to do. And Jesus knows that. He says, I'm going to tell you, like a lantern. Why do you have a lantern? Why do you have light? What's the purpose of light? Why is light around us? Why? Well, you know, we have light because it helps us see. The older you get, don't you appreciate light even more to help you see? Oh man, some of our younger pastors around here, some of our youth pastors, you can always know it's their office. Even if you're not familiar with around here, just walk down the hallway. You can pick out the youth pastor's office because they're dark and dim. You'll start down this hallway and, you know, the first one's Steve Hinchel's, and it's really light because... never mind. And then you have Sam and Dave and lots of light coming out of those offices too. But you get a little further and then you get to the junior high office and it looks like you go have a candlelight dinner in there. It really does. The lights are down low and high school office is the same way. Our graphic art department office is the same way. It's just this low light. And they come into my office, which has all the fluorescents on. Wish I had more light in there. And they come in and say, Oh, bro, how can you hear the spirit in this office? Because I can't even read in your office. I come into their office and I'm like, what do I want to say to you? I don't know. I don't have any idea. Because I need light. I used to make fun of my parents for doing stuff like this. Now I'm just glad my iPhone has a light on it. I really am. Out to dinner, I'm like, praise the Lord. All right, I can see that. That's amazing. I love it that most of the stuff I read now is on an iPad. So it's backlit. Glory, hallelujah. I can increase the font size without carrying around a 50-pound Bible. I love the world we live in. But light helps us to be able to see. The other thing light does is it chases away the darkness. And by the way, the critters that love the darkness. I remember when we took a missions trip to Maui. Another story. Yeah, love, brother. It'll be okay. Hang on with me. We took a missions trip to Maui. And I went because someone had to do it. Someone had to suffer for Jesus. So we went. We did that trip. And I remember the first night. I'll never forget. You know, we were there in our bunks trying to sleep. And as one guy got up to go to the restroom, he just opened the door and... it looked to me like the wall moved. I was like, what is that? So I got up and turned on the light, and as I hit the light, no exaggeration, hundreds of cockroaches just into their little holes. And that was a nice night's sleep. What's happening to me? But it was all because the light, they don't like the light. Light helps us see. It chases away the darkness and things that love the darkness. And because you understand that, and they would have understood it in their day, Jesus is saying, that's why you've got to let your light shine. You want to grow, you want to expand the kingdom of God in your sphere of influence. Well, then you can't take the light that God has put in your heart and hide it under a basket. That light was meant to help people see the truth. That light was meant to help the darkness flee. You can't hide it. Being a secret agent Christian is not the plan. It just isn't. But some of us, that's where we're at. It's like, well, I don't talk about my faith much. And I know you and Pastor Rob have been telling me to go invite people to Easter, invite people to gather. But I just don't want to force my faith on anybody. Can I ask you, why? Why? Is not Jesus the best thing that ever happened to you? I mean, I know there's still trials in serving God. Certainly there are. But in his presence is fullness of joy. He's the only hope for the world. And I want people to know. So let it shine, gang. I mean, that song we sang when we were kids, it wasn't the best musically, but it was great theologically, wasn't it? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, you're going to sing. That's awesome. This is the third time I've taught this message. Never has the congregation broken to singing. I love this service. This is amazing. But yes, hide it under a bushel. That's right. I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. So let it shine. Let it shine. Let what Jesus did affect where you live, affect where you work, affect you at home and with your friends. We want to grow. We want to see the kingdom of God expanded. So our hearts need to be soft and our light needs to shine. Thirdly, in Jesus' sermon by the sea, thirdly, if I want to grow, if I want to see the kingdom of God expanded, my heart needs to be good soil. I don't want to hide my light. Thirdly, I need to be careful how I listen. To be careful how I listen. Look at verse 24. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. For with the same measure you use it, it'll be measured to you. And how you hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. If I want to see the kingdom of God expand, if I want to see myself grow in my relationship with God, then I need to let my light shine. In order for there to be light, I need to be careful what I'm hearing. You know, we live in a world where there's so much junk out there, gang. And I don't want to lay some legalistic trip on you, but if you love God, you really need to pray. What am I meditating on? What am I listening to? What am I allowing to come to my home through that device called the TV? What am I allowing in my brain and in my heart? We have other choices to fill our hearts and fill our minds. You know, we live in a world that is amazing. You know, there was a day where you could say, well, I would grow in the Lord. I would expand God's kingdom if I went to a good church. But the problem is I got to listen to you every other Sunday. And so that's why I'm not growing. It's why the kingdom of God isn't expanding. You used to be able to use an excuse like that. But today, friends, if you have access to a computer, Bible teachers from almost every generation, their teaching is available for you online with one click of a button. You can download your favorite teaching, whether it's Pastor Jason, Pastor Rob, or some pastor who lives on the other side of the world. You can be discipled by anybody today. And you know what the scripture says? To whom much is given, much is required. Well, I'm not into technology. I don't have... Well, can you read? If you can read, there are these cool things called books. And these books have the writings of these guys. You can be discipled by anyone. We need to take heed. I know the Lord just years ago convicted me. There's a lot of time. Mowing the lawn, pulling weeds, spending time at the gym. And God has impressed upon me, you've got to redeem that time. Other than listening to my pastor every other week, I have other guys I listen to weekly. Not because I want to prepare a sermon. Not because I want to find cool jokes to use out on you guys. It's because I want to grow in the Lord. I want to expand what God's doing in my own heart, in my own life. The opportunity is there. We need to listen. But Jesus is more than just what we listen to. He exhorts us to be careful how we listen. Do you hear that? How we listen. You see, just because something enters your ears doesn't mean you are really listening. It's too bad that you can't take a course on listening. You can take a course on communicating, make eye contact, review your points, review. I mean, we can take courses on communicating, but listening, it's so key to marriage. It's so key to growing in the Lord, but we can't seem to take a class on it. So how do we do it? How do we take heed how we hear? Well, if you're interested, number one, I think you should write down what you're learning. Write down what you're learning. How do I hear so I will get more and receive more from the Lord? Write down what you're learning. I don't know about you, but there's so much rattling around up here in this little brain that if I don't write down the things that God is ministering to my heart, I will forget. It usually goes something like this. Pastor Rob says something, I'm like, amen, oh, I need to, and I, but I, my pen, I forgot my iPad, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, that was so good, so good, so good. Then the worship team comes out, and they close us in a song, and I walk in the back, and I, breakfast burritos, and all of a sudden, I forget what God had done in my heart. Am I the only one that has that experience? Am I the only, you guys are such liars, you know what happens to you too. We forget, so we need to write it down. For you younger people, there's these great things called pen and paper. They're made out of wood and ink and plastic. It's a great invention, and it's so good for you to do, as Pastor Rob was exhorting us last week. Write down what God is sharing with you so you can go back later and read it and be ministered to and stay on track. We need to write down what God is ministering to us. And secondly, if I'm going to hear, I need to avoid distraction. You see, some of you say, pen and paper. Hello, it's 2013, Jason. My Bible's on my iPhone. My Bible's on my iPad. It's such a great thing. I mean, are you saying it's not okay to listen to a Bible study and read the word on my phone, to read the word on my tablet? No. I love mine. I really do. I really love my iPad. Why? Because number one, I have worse handwriting than a doctor. It's really true. Really true. I hand some of the things to our precious women that serve as you know, secretaries here. They're like, what? What are you saying? I have the worst handwriting. So some of those journals I have from 10 years ago, I open them up and I go, I have no idea, God. I have no idea what you are sharing with me. So I love that now, in the last few years, it's all typed out. I like that. As I already shared with you, I like that it's lit up. It's easier to see. But can I warn you? Avoid distraction. You see, you can sit down in the morning and read your Bible on your iPad. There are great websites. The One Your Bible's online. Any Bible version you want to download, it's there and available. But can I just challenge you, while you're doing that, after you get it downloaded, you're ready to go, shut off the internet while you're listening to the Lord. Shut off the internet function on your phone or your iPad while you sit in here. That sounds kind of legalistic. No, that's from experience. Because here's what happens. I'm teaching. I start to run down a little tangent, which I tend to do at times. And all of a sudden, you're thinking, wonder how UCLA is doing. You know, their football team played in the Pac-12 championship. I wonder if their basketball team played in the Pac-12. Let me just check. Oh, they did. Did USC play in either championship? No, they didn't. They didn't. Oh, but UCLA got kicked out of the first round of the NCAA tournament. They did. How did USC do? Oh, they didn't even get invited. Oh, that's too bad. Some of you think, I would never do that. I would never check scores on my phone or on my iPad during a Bible study where I'm trying to read. I'm too busy for sports. Okay, busy person. You don't access your calendar. What? Even you that aren't technological, don't be planning out your week while you're listening to the Bible study. Jason, now, listen. Let's get serious. I'm a planner. You're talking and I remember something I'm supposed to do and I write it down and that leads to something else and you don't understand because you're not a planner. Yes, I am. I understand fully. When I pastored that church in Texas, I had 7 years of Bible studies planned out. Not prepared, planned out. Where I could tell you, 3 years from now on a Wednesday night, we're doing Nehemiah 1 through 4, and we did it. Pastor Rob's trying to cure me of this illness, but I am a planner. I love to organize things out. I really, really do. And if you're a planner, listen, you can plan during a Bible study, but plan out your obedience. That's what you should be planning. I want to hear what God is saying to me, so I need to write it down. I need to avoid distraction. And thirdly, I need to plan my obedience. God, I've heard your word. I've heard what you told me to do. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Here's when we're going to get this done. Instead of doing my to-do list for Monday, I want to plan. God, how am I going to put feet to the faith you're putting in my heart in this study? You want to get more out of Bible studies? You want to get more out of Bible reading? Write down what you're learning. Avoid distractions while you're learning. And then obey. Be a doer of God's word. Hebrews chapter 5 says that strong meat are for those who use it. In other words, those who know what to do with it. Big, juicy ribeye steak. You don't give one of those to a toothless baby, do you? Because a little toothless baby doesn't know what to do with it. It's just gnaw on it or whatever. But you that have chompers, man, you understand, unless you're a veggie, but that's okay. You know what to do. You got the teeth and you can process it and your body can use it. And so that strong meat is for you. Friends, the same thing with the word of God. To whom that has, more will be given. When I'm using it and giving it away, God will give me more. So I've got to be careful how I hear. By writing down what God shares with me, by praying it in, thinking it through, avoiding distraction, and then planning my obedience. The word of God, if you do, will come alive. These Bible studies as we sit in this room together will come alive as we take heed how we hear. You want to grow in the Lord? Do you want to grow? Do you want to see the kingdom of God expanded around you? Then your heart, number one, has to be good soil. It just does. If you haven't dealt with the things choking out the word of God as we were exhorted last week, man, today is the day. I want to make sure my light is shining so people can see the truth and the darkness will flee. Thirdly, I want to pay attention to how I am hearing. Number four, Jesus says, do your job, and then trust the Lord. Do your job and trust the Lord. What do I mean? Look at verse 26. And he said, there's the break again, and he said, the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. And he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Jesus is teaching a 5-point sermon. And as he goes on, he says, hey, you need to do your part and then trust the Lord. Why would I say that? Because Jesus is doing another picture here, a picture that would have been very familiar to them, a picture of farming. And a farmer in every generation has to work hard. But if you think about farming in Jesus' day, you know, that farmer would till the ground, as we learned last week. That farmer would put out the seed. That farmer would water by hand. But once the work was done, if you were a farmer in Jesus' day, you had just to sit back and trust God to do the miracle of bringing life. In fact, even in our day, with all our scientific technology, with all the advantages that farmers have today, still, once the seed gets in the ground, as the water is placed on that seed, it is still God that has to bring about life. And Jesus is saying, same thing. You want to grow? You want to expand my kingdom? Well, then you need to do your part and then trust me to work. You see, we do have a part. We do have a part for us to grow in the Lord. We're to read our Bible and pray every single day. Why? To make God love us more, to earn points for heaven? No. You need to hang out with Jesus through his word on a regular basis. I need to spend time in prayer, pouring out my heart, just saying, Lord, I can't carry this anymore. Here you go. That is so necessary for me to grow. I've got to be here. I've got a fellowship with the brothers and sisters in Christ who exhort me and I get to exhort. These are things I have to do. But once I've done what I have to do, I need to sit back and say, God, I need you to work in my life. I need you to work in my life. You know, there is something for you to do. You won't deepen your walk with God by sitting on the couch and watching TV and eating burritos any more than you'll become an athlete by doing that sort of program. You do have a part, but that said, You can't change your heart. You can't change your mind. But as you've done your part, putting your mind and heart in the good soil of God's word, in the light of his presence, as we gather together to worship, watered by his spirit, then you just need to trust, God, you're going to work. I was sharing with the kids in chapel here at the school last week, this verse out of James chapter 4. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. See, right there is our part, his part. Our part, we need to submit to God. We cannot live in rebellion. We need to resist the devil. We need to draw near to God, but as we do, the enemy will flee and God will draw near to you. You see, we want to grow. We want to see the kingdom of God expanded. But so often we try and we try and we just don't see the fruit. And you know who knows that sometimes will happen? Jesus. So he says, if you want to see fruit expand, you've got to have heart that's good soil. You've got to let your light shine. You've got to take heed how to hear. And don't be discouraged when at first you don't see fruit. Don't be discouraged when at first you're trying, you're reading your Bible, you're praying, and nothing comes about. You keep doing what I'm telling you to do, and you're going to see fruit in your life. And what's true for you, friends, is also true for others. Maybe for some of you, the discouragement comes because you've been sharing with a loved one. And you share with them, and you share with them, and you share with them, and you share with them. And you wonder, Lord, why aren't they getting it? Why is it like talking to a brick wall? I don't get it. And you're tempted to be discouraged away from wanting to grow and wanting to expand the kingdom of God. And so God says to you again, you do your part. You pray for them. Do it. If the Lord leads, you fast for them. As God opens doors, plant seed, share with them. Invite them out to Easter. Invite them out to our new service gather. Invite them, invite them, invite them. But then once you've done your part, you have to sit back and trust. God, now it's time for you to work. Because friend, let this set you free this morning. You can't save anybody. Anybody. We don't save people. Jesus saves people. I had someone say to me a couple weeks, I just expected you to save a lot more people with that message. What? I can't save anybody. I'm sorry to disappoint you. I can't save anybody. But the Holy Spirit does the work. The Holy Spirit changes people's lives. So you've done your part. You've prayed. You've done your part. You've fasted. You've done your part. You've shared. And so now you trust. God, I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to let you be God. I'm going to let you be God in my life. I'm going to let you be God in my loved one's life that desperately needs to come to know you. I want to grow in the Lord. And I want to expand the kingdom of God. So what do? Well, in the Sermon by the Sea, Jesus says, let your heart be good soil. Point number one. He says, let your light shine. No one gets saved by secret agent Christians, those that are hiding their light under a basket. Let your light shine. Thirdly, he says, be careful how you hear. Just because you're listening to studies and reading your Bible doesn't mean you're hearing it. Write it down, think it through, pray it in, plan your obedience, avoid distraction. Fourthly, don't get discouraged. You've done your part, do your part, then trust God to be God. And finally, point number five, watch out for the birds. Watch out for them birds. They only had one good song and they stole it from Solomon. Turn. I'm sorry, that was totally inappropriate. And not very funny. So, listen to what Jesus says. Verse 30. And he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It's like a mustard seed, which when it's sown in the ground, it's smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it's sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. And with many such parables, he spoke a word to them as they were able to hear. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. And can I just say publicly, thank you, disciples, for not writing down the explanation to the mustard seed parable. Thank you so much. This parable, honestly, is tough to truly understand what Jesus is trying to communicate. The parables where Jesus explained them, I love those, don't you? Jesus tells a story and you're like, what did you mean? He's like, would you like to know? Yes, as you're reading through your Bible. And then he explains it and it's like, oh, I get it. And then other times, like the parable of the mustard seed growing into a tree and birds lodging its branches, nowhere in the scripture is that explanation. So we have to guess. We have to try. He's comparing the kingdom of God to a mustard seed. Now, the mustard seed was the smallest seed that the Jewish people would have had in their gardens in their day. You can see it pictured on the screen, just very small. Hundreds and hundreds of them fit just in the palm of your hand. Yet planted in the ground, it turns into a pretty large bush, a pretty significant plant those little seeds will turn into. And so it could be that Jesus is just teaching that once again, like point number four, that when it comes to growing in the Lord, when it comes to expanding his kingdom, that we're just to do our part, and then God will do more than we could ever expect. That God will often start in our lives and in our ministry something that is so small, and then he does something so great from the perspective of eternity. That could be all that Jesus is trying to say. But there's also something that is called the law of expositional constancy. The law of expositional constancy. And what that fancy term means is simply this. To help Bible teachers understand, when Jesus interprets a parable one way in one passage, that the same elements he used, if he uses them in another parable, they mean the same thing. For example, Jesus interpreted the parable that Pastor Rob taught us last week. And he told us the seed is the word of God. The field are hearts. You know, and he explains it to us. And so therefore, whenever you're reading a parable, if Jesus is talking about seed, he's talking about the word. If he's talking about sowing that seed into fields, he's talking about hearts. He doesn't switch pictures on you where suddenly he's like, well, now the field is the ocean. And seed are ships, and I'm in control of all the ships. It would be impossible to try to follow Jesus' teaching if he was switching pictures on us all the time. So most Bible teachers believe if a seed means, you know, the word of God in one, the seed's going to mean the word of God in another. Now, if that's true, and we carry that through, in the last parable that we learned about last week, Jesus talked about birds coming and snatching away the word of God. And it's really clear in Matthew 13's version of these parables, when he interprets it, he says, the birds are those under the influence of the evil one. The birds are those under the influence of the evil one. And if we keep the pictures consistent, what Jesus is saying in his last point in the Sermon on the Sea is you want to grow in Christ. You want to expand the kingdom of God. But as you do your part, God will bless. The kingdom of God will expand like a mustard seed into a huge bush. But be careful. Because occasionally, it's also going to be that giant bush is going to attract some birds. Some birds that are not part of God's kingdom. In other places in Scripture, he calls them different things. He calls them wolves in sheep's clothing in Matthew chapter 7, when he says, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. He calls them tares among the wheat in Matthew 13. What Jesus is saying is basically this. There will be people in the midst of us, in the quote-unquote kingdom of God, in the church, who though they look like they know God and they look like they believe in God and they look like they're sheep, they're not. There's something totally different. But it's not our job to figure out who's who. It's not our job to cast the tares out. No, our job is to trust the Lord. Why is it not our job? Because it's hard to tell the difference. You can see in this first picture that tares and wheat look a lot alike. It's hard to tell what is wheat and what is tares. And so in Matthew 13, God says, I'll sort it out someday. I'll separate the wheat from the chaff. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between a wolf and a sheep. These first couple do a pretty good job. That's, you know, that kind of passes for a sheep a little bit. And the second guy, kind of, can you find the wolf in this picture? You know, he's hiding out there on the right side. So sometimes it's kind of hard to see. Other times it's obvious. These next three guys, they need to work on their costumes a little bit. They just have, especially this last guy. Yeah, he's got to do some work on his costume. You see, as we're going through the Christian walk, as we're going through our lives, you're going to encounter people that are tares among wheat. You're going to encounter people that are wolf wolves, though they look like they're sheep. You're going to encounter people that are birds. They're under the influence of the enemy. And again, Jesus says in Matthew 13, it's not our job to figure out who's who, because we sometimes can't tell the difference. I mean, if you had told the apostles, one of you's a wolf, who is it? None of them would have picked Judas. None of them. I bet they would have picked Peter, if you ask me. I mean, like, that guy over there, I saw his teeth. That's the guy. That's the guy you got to look for. And that would have been a devastating mistake. So we're not to go around kicking people out. We're not to go around accusing people of being a wolf, but we are to be wise. Because understand, friends, people will let you down. People will disappoint you. And it may be that they are a wolf in sheep's clothing, or maybe they're just a sheep that bites. Ever run into this guy in the church? He's around the church there, man. He's around. I've met that guy before. Why am I sharing this with you? Because again, remember the topic. Remember the topic. We want to grow. We want to expand the kingdom of God. And so if that is going to happen, number one, I've got to have a heart that's good soil. Secondly, I've got to let my light shine. Thirdly, I've got to take heed how I hear. Fourthly, I've got to battle discouragement. Because sometimes I'm trying to grow and I'm not. I'm trying to share my faith and no one's listening. Jesus says, you do your part and I'll do mine. Don't be discouraged. And sometimes, though, it's not lack of fruit that discourages us. It's people we meet in the church. I can't believe she talked about me that way. I can't believe he said what he said. Oh, I'm so disappointed. I'm so let down. How could that person who claims to be a Christian, who claims to be part of our body, how could they treat me that way? And I'm done. The enemy knows that will happen in your life. He knows it will. Jesus knows it'll happen in your life. He says, I knew some of those people in my day too. And so he shares with this multitude, I know you want to grow. I know you want to expand the kingdom. So have your hearts be ready. Let your light shine. Be careful what you hear. And don't be discouraged, because you do your part and I'll do my part. And when you run into some birds, don't be discouraged. Because precious men and women, you are not here for me. You are not here for Pastor Rob. You are not here for even the people that are sitting around you. You should be here for Jesus. And Jesus is the one that will never let you down. He will never disappoint you. He will never do you wrong. And if you want to grow and you want to see the kingdom of God expanded, then you keep your eyes on him. You cling to him. You let him cultivate good soil in your heart. You let him bring that light out of your heart. You let him convict you of the way that you hear. You let him do the work after you've done your part. And you let him deal with those birds and wolves and tares. And you worship him. You stick with him. And you're going to grow. And the kingdom of God is going to expand. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your word to us. And that we, what a privilege, Lord, that we get to, because the disciples wrote it down, we get to be part of that sermon you gave by the sea, where you encourage the multitudes to grow in their relationship with their Heavenly Father, to expand the kingdom of God all around them. And so you told them, let your heart be good soil. And I pray, if there's any among us that have not in this last 7 days dealt with those cares of the world that are choking out your word, the things of this world choking out what you want to do, God, I pray right now as we worship, we would lay those things aside. We would take those things to the cross and let you just have all of our hearts. You told the multitude to let their light shine, and I pray we would, Lord. We wouldn't hide it any longer. We'd let it affect the way we live and the way we think and the way we act. Lord, I pray we'd be careful how we hear, that we truly listen when you're speaking to us through your word in the mornings, that we truly listen when we gather in this place to hear Bible studies. I pray, Lord, that we would not get discouraged when we don't see the fruit, but we trust you to do your part as we've done our part. And I do pray for anyone in our midst that is discouraged and ripped off because someone in the body took a bite out of them. Lord, I pray they would have the maturity to see that that wasn't you. That breaks your heart. And you love them and you're for them and you have a radical plan for their lives. And maybe you're sitting here with your head bowed and your eyes closed, and maybe you've never committed your heart to the Lord. Maybe you walked away from the Lord because a wolf dressed up like a sheep took a bite out of you and it hurt and you were burned out with the church. Friend, God brought you here today because He's calling you back to Him. He doesn't excuse what those people did to you. That was sin. But He did die for what those people did for you. And He died for what you have done to Him. And to get to heaven, it's not about letting good deeds outweigh your bad. It's not about impressing God. It's about you surrendering to His work in your life. It's about you receiving that free gift of forgiveness on the cross. And so if you'd like to come to Him or back to Him, then right there where you sit, would you just cry out to Him, just between you and the Lord, Lord, save me. God, come back into my life. I'm sorry I ran from you. Just in your own words, would you cry out to the Lord? The radical thing is, friend, God hears your prayer. And just like that father that runs toward the prodigal son, He is running back to you this morning. He never left you. As He sees you on the horizon, He's running to meet you. God, we thank You for who You are. Thank You for how good You are, Jesus. Lord, captivate our hearts, we pray. In Your name, amen.